The Oldie Magazine Recordings. Noble Caledonia, proud sponsors of the Oldie Literary Lunches. And today was Lynn Barber talking about her latest book, A Curious Career. Because Lynn had a cold, her best friend Valerie Groves stepped in at the last minute.
I'm really sorry not to be Lynn Barber. And when I got the call at 11 o'clock this morning to come and be Lynn Barber instead, I said yes without hesitation, because I do greatly, vastly admire her, and I know how ill she is, because on Friday night we went to the cinema. We always go to the cinema on Friday nights, and we saw The Birdman, a weird film which she adored. So if you want to know about Lynn Barber, I'll tell you this. She hated Meryl Streep as Mrs. Thatcher, because all that acting, I can't bear it, she said. But she adored The Birdman, but she coughed viscerally throughout the performance. And if I hadn't been her friend sitting next to her, I would have moved away sharply. Anyway, so she ends up on her sick bed. All I can do with this wonderful book, A Curious Career, which she's written, her second volume of memoirs, you remember that An Education became a very good film, written by Nick Hornby, and with, what's that lovely little girl called? Who played her? Yes, Kerry Mulligan, who was so good. This is a continuation of her life career, and it gives some extracts from her books, from her works. So I'm going to read you my review from the Oldie, which and I'll embellish it as we go. It's only 600 words, so it's the right length. Here are some tips for you if interviewed by Lynn Barber. Behave badly. Forget nice. Be mad, bad, dangerous. Smoke, drink. Confess to drug-taking or cross-dressing. Bring out family skeletons. Be sure to turn up late. Bully the waiter. Send back the wine. Be as cranky as possible, but do not bore. See, Lynn absolutely... she writes that in capital. She can't bear to be bored for a moment. She is thought cruel. She prefers unsparing. People say you like little girls, she said to Jimmy Savile. Have you ever been certified insane? That was to Ken Russell. And Stephen Fry, she said, was seriously screwed up. Nobody has to be interviewed by an interviewer. They can always say no. Queen Mother never said yes. Lucian Freud never succumbed to Lynn's blandishments. She sent him letter after letter. And then there was a note still framed in her downstairs loo in her house saying, "Dear Miss Barber, why should I want to come and be shat upon by some stranger?" He never said yes. And those who do say yes are generally vain, which she likes, attention-seeking, she loves that, and thinking, I can handle this dame. Melvin Bragg was so furious with what she wrote that he inserted a hideously ugly woman interviewer in his next trashy novel, she said. she hated the fact that she had to keep avoiding him at parties. There was a previous book in which... actually, this book contains several of her own favourite interviews. It doesn't contain some of my favourites of hers, including the one with Sir John Juner. I notice you keep scratching yourself, Miss Barber. A flea in a pair of tights must be a terrible thing. Could it be a flea? But she reruns a select few. She doesn't use the one about Rain Spencer, which I really loved, which was what she does so cleverly is sometimes she does say, you know, this person is seriously screwed up, etc. But some better still, she just lets the person damn themselves with their own words. So here she is interviewing Rain Spencer, Countess Spencer, at Althorp. And she has the two of them. She has Lord and Lady Spencer there. I would ask Lady Spencer something perfectly straightforward, like, how many visitors a year do you get here at Althorp? And she would say to me, "Oh, how sweet of you to ask." Then to her husband, "Isn't it sweet of Miss Barber to ask?" Lord Spencer, basso profundo, most kind. Anyway, all her questions produce this paroxysm of politeness. For instance, I asked Lady Spencer about an episode back in the 50s when she complained about dirty teacups at Heathrow Airport. You remember that, when she was Viscountess Lewisham, or Dartmouth, one of the two. Oh, how sweet of you to remember. I'm always terribly touched when people remember these little things about me. Isn't it kind of Miss Belber to remember, etc.? You have to get the hang of this vocabulary. Anyway, right at the beginning, she said, "Do tell me, because we've both been wondering, haven't we, darling, are you by any chance related to that wonderful, well-known journalist, Noel Barber?" "No." And a little later, "Are you by any chance related to Lord Barber, the former Chancellor of the Exchequer?" "No." Finally, over tea, and no longer with any pretense that the matter was relevant to anything we were discussing at all, "What does your father do?" "He's retired." I was tempted to leave it at that, just to drive Lady Spencer mad with curiosity, but I had succumbed to her charm by that stage. So I generously added the information, "He was a civil servant." "Oh, how fascinating!" "What kind of civil servant, exactly?" Anyway, she does add that Lady Spencer treated me more hospitably than anyone I have ever interviewed. And it's true that Rain Spencer was and is the most wonderfully hospital. She is still alive, isn't she? I interviewed her. I had the same kind of wonderful treatment. Anyway, Marianne Faithfull, who's... what does she say about her? Oh, yes, I'm afraid she's very unkind. And Nadal, lovely Nadal. Had a terrible treatment from her. And Hilary Mantel. And Shane McGowan of the Pogues. She was prepared for McGowan's blackened stumps of teeth, but reeled at the vomit stains all down his trousers and encrusted on his shoe. This is what's impressive about her. She stayed with him most of the night. They had this long night in a Dublin hotel, and then she bowed out, drunk as a skunk, as she says. But next morning, she finds him still in the hotel bar at 9 a.m. with a row of gins before him. Thus did he win her heart. I mean, she likes these people. She's 70. She's the oldest hatcheteer who's still at it. Quite as odd as her subjects herself. She's a very baggy trousered figure, shape undecipherable, as I say, under her loose garb. She plays Scrabble online, and she is punctilious about punctuation and punctuality. And she hates interviewing actors. Actors can't be doing with them, take themselves so seriously. Sportsmen can't bear it. Her favourite subjects are the crazed by fame pop stars and inarticulate YBAs, for whom she provides, she feels, a service for posterity. I mean, she adores Tracy Emin. She has some ghastly Tracy Emin pictures on her walls, too. And she loves Tracy because Tracy, when Lynn's cat died, Tracy sent shed loads of flowers. The only person to do it. Okay. She was the only child of very peculiar parents who never invited anybody home, and they encouraged her seduction by this con man at the age of 16, as related in An Education. Sorry, I am going to speak. Stop. Did you say stop? It's time up. I'm really sorry. I thought I heard a tinkling of tea. Oh, you know, a spoon, the horror of the spoon on the coffee cup. Okay. She grew up an only child, inquisitive but abnormally unsentimental. When Julie Andrews asked her, did she have children? She said no, not wishing to waste precious time in the interview, thus denying her two daughters. She is amazing. A monstrous ego, but all the best writers are, I think you'll certainly find that writing biographies of writers. That carapace of emotional indifference can be punctured. I interviewed her in 1992 when her first book came out, and the night before my piece appeared in the Sunday Times, the phone rang at 11 p.m., and it was Lynn, who had rushed down to King's Cross, motored down to King's Cross. In those days, there was no internet. You couldn't see the next day's paper online. She had gone to buy the Sunday Times hot off the press outside the station, and she just said, "I just wanted to say thank you." And I said, "And why?" And she was just relieved because she had beseeched me to leave out two stories, which I'll now tell you. Sorry. One was about her Jewish mother-in-law, who was about to come down. She was always sewing on her husband's buttons and never thought that Lynn looked after him properly. And she didn't want that to appear. And the other one was about falling out with her neighbour, who's a celebrated novelist called Sally Bowman. They'd argued over a tree. And I'd left out these stories because there were so many other other stories to tell. And she was so grateful because she'd never imagined before what it was like to be the interviewee. And she said this, and she had never thought why people felt after she had written about them. And suddenly she did. And I'm afraid, I have to say, that for the next few weeks, her interviews lacked a certain je ne sais quoi. But anyway, she got back to form. And this sensitivity was short-lived. And she was soon back to remarking on Zsa Zsa Gabor's withered hands, Marianne Faithfull's scrawny 55-year-old thighs. Lynn herself had once fabulous legs, which she flashed at Salvador Dali and Gore Vidal, who were her first celebrity interviews. She is addicted to monsters. Give her Piers Morgan any day rather than nice Dan Stevens. I'll tell you, before she did Dan Stevens, he then lived in Crouch End, not in Hollywood, as he does now, and he was in Downton, and she was to interview him, and she hated the idea of interviewing him. He'd sent a list of coffee shops, coffee bars, that he might like to be interviewed in. And she insisted on going to them all to test the acoustics with her tape recorder first. And because she doesn't walk more than 100 yards, I'd had to drive her to these places, find parking places. The first place we got to, when I finally found a parking meter and got to her in the coffee shop, I said, Lynn, this is not the Blue Legume. This is the, you know, the coffee rendezvous. It's the wrong place. We're in the wrong place. She said, oh dear, I've just ordered some eggs Benedict and proceeded to consume this thing. Anyway, she finally found a nice pub that Dan Stevens could be taken to, and he's gone from Crouch End, I need hardly say. Ordinary people are bores, she finds, as are the bereaved, even her own bereavement in 2003. Yes, bores. She was sent to interview Alan Clark's widow, Jane, and she found her insufferable bore, and so hated that. She will just tell her editor that she's too nice, so dear, I can't write this, it's too nice. It is a crazy game, and it's fading now, the newspaper interview, but she raised this game in the 1980s, so despite the snarky young imitators, and there are many of them, and I think they do it very badly, trying to be Lynn Barber, the imitators that she spawned, I salute her.
The Oldie Magazine Recordings, Noble Caledonia, proud sponsors of the Oldie Literary Lunches. This is a Radio Gorgeous production for the Oldie 2015. Theoldie.co.uk.